The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second and the third married her, and so on in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. And Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is the God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We have a story that we tell with the children, and it begins like this. Time. There are all kinds of time. There is time to get up in the morning. There is time to go to bed. There is time to go to school and a time to come home. There's a time to work and a time to play. But what is time? Some people say that time is a line. I wonder what that would look like. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? It's time in a line. Look, here is the beginning. It is the newest part. It is just being born. It is brand new. But now look, the part that was new is getting older. The part that was new is getting old. I wonder how long time goes. Does it go on forever? Could there ever be an ending? Let's set time on fire. There. It ended. The beginning that was so new is old now, and the ending is the newest part. So we have a beginning that is like an ending, and an ending that is like a beginning. Do you know what the church did? It tied the beginning and the ending together so that we would always remember that for every ending, there is a beginning, and every beginning and every ending is also a beginning. What did I say? Beginning and ending. Endings and beginnings. That they're connected. So we are at that time in the church's year where the ending and the beginning meet each other. And it can be hard to tell where is the end and where is the beginning when they are all tied together like that. In the church's year, we practice being in all kinds of different times, in between where we are and wherever we hope to be. And I don't know about you, but I feel pulled between where I am and where I hope to be all the time. And sometimes there's another tug of where someone else seems to think that I should be just kind of thrown in for good measure, I think. And that pull gets stronger around this time of year. Yesterday, I drove past two different holiday craft fairs, one at the YMCA and one at the Episcopal Church that had a sign at the entrance to their parking lot that just said, Sleigh Bell Lane, which made me angry in about four different ways at once. Because first, the font was almost illegible, which is bad advertising and also a safety hazard when you're talking about people who are driving. Second, I had no idea what I was meant to find on Sleigh Bell Lane, because those were the only words that I could read on the sign at first. So what do they have there? Just sleigh bells? I don't know. Things to buy or to eat? Reindeer? I don't know. Thirdly, no one needs sleigh bells here, because no one needs sleighs here. And last of all, certainly no one needs sleigh bells right now, at the beginning of November, because I am still eating the bowl of leftover Halloween candy, pretending that no one notices that it's me. And if I'm really honest, my inner Grinch is hiding that I am a little bit angry about how all this holiday nonsense unfolds, not only because it is too early, but also because even when it's not, I am quite sure that I will not be ready to meet the expectations and hopes that seem to fill up these days. I feel pulled between where I am and where I hope to be. And that's not a modern invention. Folks in Jesus' day felt that way too, I am quite sure. And even though we don't know her name, I think that the woman whose story is being used today to try to trap Jesus was among the people who would have felt that way. The question that his opponents are asking him isn't an honest one, trying to prove the silliness of the idea of the resurrection. They ask Jesus what eternity could possibly look like for a woman passed through a family of brothers in marriage. I mean, it was part of the law in that time that a brother would take responsibility for her if her husband died before she had a child, a son, really, because otherwise she would be in danger of poverty, even of death. A woman on her own couldn't possibly get by in the world, not without a man. What a silly idea that we've completely let go of. Not exactly. Making sure that her husband's brother would take care of her was a pinch of compassion in a world that needed a pound. And it doesn't solve the underlying problem of patriarchy, of course, but apparently it was all that was imaginable at the time. So it was how her security was provided for. So that's what the law said. And I'm not sure if Jesus found it more funny or more infuriating to be offered this riddle by his opponents that day. And so when he says that there is no marriage in the resurrection, or no giving in marriage among resurrection people, I don't think that he is trying to say that we will not be with the ones we have loved in life forever. What I do think he is saying to these people who would treat a woman like a sort of family heirloom that nobody really wants yet everyone feels obligated to keep is that no person is a resented obligation in the kingdom of God. What Jesus says to the ones who are asking, but who does she belong to at the end of it all, is no one, no one, no one but the God who created her and loves her. She doesn't belong to any man forever because she was never a man's possession to begin with, and y'all just haven't figured that out yet. Bless your hearts, you're all still somewhere between where you are and where you need to be. That woman had to live so much of her life between where she was and where she hoped to be, between being a burden and being someone's joy, between being beloved and being begrudged, between being seen as a harbinger of death and being seen as a bearer of life. And so today we enter Advent, maybe a little earlier than you were ready for, although I'm never really quite ready for Advent, if I'm honest. It usually takes me most of the season to sort of nestle myself into its dark warmth and wonder. But this year we do take our cues from some ancestors in faith who took 7 weeks to journey with Advent instead of the 4 that we know best. We do often think of this as a time of preparation, But this year, I wonder if we can embrace this as a time of being in between, of being where you really are, and sitting with where you hope to be. Because no matter how much we prepare or don't, Advent will end, and God will do God's work, and Emmanuel will come. These weeks are the gift of sitting with that tension that circumscribes most of our lives, being where we are, looking toward where we hope to be, knowing that we aren't there yet. This sort of no man's land is actually the church's home. We are a way station. Jesus is always bringing us to the edges and in between places and inviting us to set up shop there. And Advent is a time to practice this, to hone our attention, to breathe into the tension of being in between. We'll light candles for each of these 7 weeks and worship. You could do something like that too if you wanted to at home. We'll post a list of themes for every day on social media, if that's a place you spend your time, so that you can focus your spirit through this season by sharing what you see or hear or think about these words that come to us through Scripture in these weeks. We can all read Scripture and pray. Take each moment, maybe every day, to set aside an item to donate to Hill Country Community Ministries. I've seen that suggested as a reverse Advent calendar. Instead of getting a piece of chocolate, maybe you can put aside something to give. Or we can just practice taking a breath each day and telling ourselves that today we are still on the journey toward what we hope for. And we are not alone. And whether we're ready or not, Emmanuel comes to journey with us. You don't belong to anyone or anything that tries to claim you, not even your own expectations, in a season like this. Welcome to Advent, friends. It might be just the thing we need on this journey between beginning and ending and beginning again. Time. May you feel the presence of the God beyond and above all time, and yet who enters into it to be close to us in this season and always. Amen.